Yeah.
Hello, my squad. Welcome to another episode of the Lavender Fix podcast. I'm your host, Sabreen Hazik, and I hope that you're well and happy and are looking at some of the changes happening around us as a sort of a silver lining. We're all living in a very strange period, and I truly believe that the best thing that we can do right now is to use this time to not only reflect, but also realign and actually physically act on our goals. And I know that sounds like such a cliche, like almost like, oh my God, why are you saying that? But really, it's all about making the best of the given situation instead of worrying too much about the future, or at least that is something I find myself doing a lot. Speaking of silver linings, my next guest, Carla Martin, is a silver goddess, a mom, a wife, and a quirky ageless soul. She is also a Glossier ambassador and a content creator based in Mexico. So I first came across her profile about a month ago, and I honestly found myself scrolling through her entire feed in one single stretch. I was basically binge consuming the beautifully curated posts showcasing her luscious platinum locks. And so Carla's story is that she first noticed the premature graying of her hair at the age of 14. And by the age of 31, she was 50% gray. After years of covering up a part of her personality with hair dyes, Carla finally decided to go all natural in 2014. This transformation, of course, came with a lot of ups and downs, deliberation, hesitance, and finally, joy. Today, we chat about Carla's inspiring transformation. Hi, Carla. Welcome. How are you?
Fine. Thank you. Hello, Sabreen. And thanks for this opportunity to share a bit of myself.
No, of course. And I have to say, Carla, I have always wanted to color my hair platinum. But because I have jet black hair, I have really not been able to muster the courage to do it. It's a huge undertaking, but you obviously have a beautiful head of silver. But I was just so curious to know, what was your hair color before it changed for good?
Well, my hair was dark, like pretty dark, not black, but you could say almost. It had like some hints of reddish tones in it.
Uh-huh.
But it was pretty dark.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I did come across, I guess, some of your older posts. And I know what you're talking about. I mean, your Instagram feed is gorgeous. Gorgeous. You definitely are a quirky soul, you know, who knows a lot about hairstyles, makeup, photography, composition, and of course, fashion. When did you first start posting about your journey, and what attracted you to Instagram as a medium?
You know, I've loved Instagram since maybe not the beginning, but close to. Mm-hmm. I've had a personal account for around 10 years. And I love the idea of posting and experimenting with the pictures and doing filters.
Yeah.
So that's something I liked. And then I started like researching more on Instagram about silver hair. And yeah, I found this hashtag called Silver Sisters.
Mm-hmm.
And I started to see women going to the process of transitioning and to their gray hair. And mm-hmm, I thought, well, maybe I could share my hair because I've already gone through that phase.
Yeah.
And decided to open an account and share my kind of like my story in a picture kind of way.
Yeah.
So that's why I started it.
Yeah. I mean, I think that your growth on social media has definitely been extraordinary. You know, you've only been posting for, I guess, a little over 2 years, and you're already at 44,000 followers. I mean, there is, you know, this demand for your kind of content. And, you know, I think a lot of people who are trying to embark on a similar journey find comfort in your posts. And you do, let's be honest, I mean, you do own your reality like a total boss. So that's really unique. Now, I wanted to know that now that you're here with so many followers, do you ever feel the pressure to post every single day?
I do. I try to post as often as I can.
Mm.
But I try not to feel that pressure because it is real. Like, you want to do better than the post before. And sometimes it can get a bit depressing if one of your posts where you feel you shared more doesn't get any engagement.
Yeah.
And it can pull you down, you know?
Mm-hmm.
It's not easy. And it can get competitive.
Of course.
With other accounts or similar accounts. So, yes, I do. I do get a little bit of pressure, and I'm trying not to.
Yeah. I mean, I'm glad that you're trying, because we're all trying to break through the noise, you know, cut through the noise.
Yeah.
But I was scrolling through your feed and I noticed that around January 2019, you posted a hairstyling video that got like over 37,000 views or something. And I mean, that's phenomenal. Have you always been interested in hairstyling, and how did you feel about this growth spurt in your viewership?
It was crazy since the beginning. Like, I think probably for the next day I started the account, I started getting more followers, around 200, 300. Mm-hmm. And I thought it was crazy. And then when I posted that video where I was trying to show how I did my hair, thinking it was something so easy,
mm-hmm.
that it really impressed me, the reaction it got and all the exposure, because for me, it's something I never thought it was going to be of interest
mm-hmm.
for other women. And yes, I've always been interested in hairstyles. I started like playing with my Barbies when I was a kid, trying to make them braids.
Yeah.
So I've always been interested in that. So I do love hairstyles and what they can do to your image.
Yeah. I mean, I wish I had the skills. I was telling you the other day when we connected to chat about this episode, I am totally impaired when it comes to hairstyling. Like, I don't know. I wish I had that. So you talked a little, you mentioned transition, right?
Yeah.
So let's talk about the transition. You know, the word transition points towards a massive shift, you know, a shift that involves someone's almost like fiber of being, the nucleus of who they are. So my question to you is, what does the word transition mean to you, or what meaning does it have in your life's context?
I think that for me, transition is when you are in your comfort zone, in your place where you are, you know, comfortable in,
mm-hmm.
and then you move to another place newer that it has some unknowing things,
mm-hmm.
that's
mm-hmm.
transitioning.
Yeah.
Like going out from your comfort zone to a new place.
Absolutely. I mean, and for you, and this is something we will get into in the episode, is, you know, you were really comfortable dyeing your hair for years because you wanted to be accepted, you wanted to feel in some way you were trying to fit in to this ideal cookie cutter image of what perfect hair should look like at a specific age, right? When you finally decided to take that road to go completely dye free, how did your family and friends respond, especially your husband?
Well, at the beginning I would, you know, just chat about the idea, and I could see the disapproving face or not only disapproving, but also like, are you crazy?
Yeah.
Because we all think negative things about going gray and letting your gray hair grow.
Yeah.
But my husband has always been like my biggest supporter since we were dating. He would always say, well, if you have gray hair, let it grow. It doesn't matter. He is younger than me, 5 years. So mm-hmm. for me, that was one thing that was an issue. I didn't want to look older than him, mm-hmm. although I'm older.
Yeah, but like, I hear you.
Can't really see a difference between us. So that was one thing that really worried. So that part was covered. He was my support and he was in favor of me of going gray.
Mm-hmm.
But friends and family, not that much.
Yeah. I mean, I remember you told me that you showed some of your relatives images of celebrities adorning gray hair, you know, to give them an idea of what it would look like on you. And most of them responded very unenthusiastically. And in fact, you told me that, you know, they made some comments about why it would not suit you and it suits her because she can carry it off. So what did they really say to you and how did it make you feel?
You know that... Probably they didn't say something trying to be hurtful,
yeah.
But in their own realness,
mm-hmm.
it did sounded hurtful for me because it was disapproving of them for me trying to go that way.
Yeah.
And it made me feel like, oh, you won't be able to pull that off. I mean, it won't look as good as it does in
on her.
This person.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I hear you. I mean... Yeah, I mean, your loved ones can be the hardest on you sometimes. And I understand that they're probably not coming from, you know, a place of hate. But, you know, sometimes, let's be honest, people, you know, depending on which age bracket they belong to, you know, can come across as sounding more crass without intentionally meaning it. But if I were to ask you, because you did go ahead with it, you know, where, you know, you weren't really looking for approvals. You were giving them a disclaimer that, hey, this is going to happen. And I just want you to know, if I were to ask you to give me your top two reasons for going dye-free, what would they be?
Well, the first one was I was so tired of having to color my hair every 2 weeks because, you know, the roots will show. Mm-hmm. But also the roots will start to show on the third day. And another big thing was that my scalp started to itch so much. It was painful for 3 days.
Yeah.
So these chemicals were affecting physically and also like expensive wise and time consuming. And that two things were my biggest decision making process to go gray.
Yeah, I can't even imagine. I mean, I sometimes get my hair, like a little patch of my hair colored blue, and it's such a pain to like go to the salon, wait for them to apply the chemicals and then wait for the pigment to fade away. And then, oh my God, it's too, like, I can't even imagine how you were, even though you were doing it yourself, like it's a huge undertaking, you know?
Yes.
But going gray shouldn't be considered a trend, and definitely, you know, embracing it isn't for everyone. You most certainly embraced it. So when did you first realize that, you know, you were graying, and what was your response to it?
I started noticing my first grays when I was 14. So it was pretty young, although it were like 3 or 4 on the sides of my head, and I would pull them out because I didn't want to see them.
Yeah. Do you mean like actually like you would pluck them out?
Yeah, exactly.
Wow.
It was crazy. I mean, that was my first approach to trying to get rid of them.
Yeah.
But then they were easy to cover.
Yeah.
I mean, I would just pull my hair down and nothing would show.
Mm. I mean, yeah. I mean, considering that you know, started graying at a tender age of 14, there is always this pressure to fit in, you know. But were you ever bullied in school because of it? Or did you feel the pressure to absolutely... cover it up? Were you self-conscious?
No, I think it was more of a personal thing because no one would even notice them. And I would talk about it and they would feel like it was something funny to have grays, but not in a bad way.
Mm-hmm. And did you compare yourself to other women growing up? You know, were there moments in your life when you almost felt like, you know, you were less feminine in some way?
Not because of my hair. I think that probably as any other women everywhere in the world, we all aspire to be someone else or to have her body or her hair, but not because of my grays. It was more of a growing up thing where you don't feel you're skinny enough or tall enough. We are always trying to be more or be something else that media shows us.
Yeah. I think that's really refreshing to hear from you, Carla, that you weren't bullied in school and that people weren't as hard on you. Because where I come from, I was bullied over every little thing, you know, whether it was my weight, whether it was a haircut, whether it was something I was wearing, you know. And I think that that can take a toll on especially kids, I would say. So, that, so that's really awesome that, you know, you didn't have to go through that drill. Although I'm pretty sure that in the world we live in right now and in the kind of school systems we have now where everyone is so overly conscious about the way they look, that maybe for kids who are dealing with it right now, it could be an issue, you know, because... People get picked on. Yeah, of course. We live in a world where everything is influenced by what people see on Instagram. Yeah, I mean, I hope people are, I mean, I hope kids are not that mean, but yeah. I mean, so, all right, now, gray hair and age, there is an unfortunate intersection between the two. You know, you had, I remember you told me that you had a strange experience when you went to see a hairstylist once. And quite frankly, like, I don't even know how this hairstylist is still in business if they are. Can you talk to me a little bit about that experience and, you know, how that made you feel?
The thing is that I used to went with this person. She's really good in what she does. But maybe her comment wasn't intended to be as I took it, but she was impressed on how I was her younger client who had most grace. I was around 30 or 32, and she told me that I had 50% of my head white. So, I mean, it probably came from her experience in seeing so many women every day coloring and doing things to her hair. But in a way, it makes you feel more conscious about what you have.
You are so nice, Carla. Like, I just love how you give everyone the benefit of the doubt. And, you know, you're always, you put a positive spin on things where, you know, it's very easy for people to say, oh my God, she was so mean. This is what she said to me. How could she say this to me? But the way you approach it is, you know, I'm pretty sure that they weren't coming from a negative space, you know. So that's that. And so what did she say to you exactly?
I can remember how it was, and if that time she even told me that I should try going blonde, so it would be easier for me to cover or at least show less of my whites. And I did. I went blonde. So I've tried every color possible in my hair.
Yeah. And how old were you when you first started coloring your hair?
I was 18, and I did it just for fun. I wanted to be redheaded, and I tried a dark red kind of color, and it didn't suit me at all. But then when you start, there is no stopping.
I know.
Because your roots will always show.
Yeah.
So that was like the worst decision I've made when I was young.
I have never colored my hair from the roots. I mean, I've colored them, but not like bleached. I've never bleached my hair from the roots. I would like to someday, but I don't think I have the courage to, you know, because I'm just worried that if I get my hair bleached, you know, they get really gummy and stretchy and brittle, and I don't think I'm prepared for that. Not yet. So, Carla, I know that we spoke about this earlier, but, you know, there is an undeniable double standard between the sexes, you know, when it comes to going gray. So it's generally acceptable for a man to sport gray hair. It's even thought of as attractive and distinguished. And oh my God, he's so handsome with his pepper hair, and he's almost like a silver fox. But for women, it can be a very different story. It signifies becoming less desirable, and it is associated with the negatives of aging. You know, the fact of the matter is that the society puts more pressure on women to remain looking youthful. So have there been times when you've been made to feel older? Do you have an example and how you tackled it?
Oh, I think you're so right on that. Like, women have to be young and fit and beautiful like forever. We need to be more conscious about our image. So, yeah, I mean, that was one thing I was so scared of when I was trying to decide if I should let my gray hair grow, mm-hmm. because I was really scared of looking old. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, I think we all do. We don't want to look older than we actually are.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It's weird. Like when you are a teenager, you want to look older. Because you hate, I remember, like, it would be so annoying when someone called you, like, oh my God, you look 10 years old, and you wanted to look 15 or 16. And then you hit a certain age and you're like, it would be really nice to be told that you look 16, if not 10. So I totally hear you. But I do remember you talked to me about a kid making a comment to you and how it made you feel old. What was that all about?
Oh, yes. I was with a friend who had her son around, and I remember him going close to me and asking, like, why do you have that color of hair? Are you a grandma? And I was like, no, I'm not. It's just the color of my hair. And what bothered me most was that the mother didn't say anything. Like, yeah. It's not that you have to say something, but explain to them that, okay, we all have different shades of hair. And white is one more.
Mm-hmm. And, like, what was your first reaction to it? Like, just internally, not even how you responded. Like, what was the first thought that came to your mind?
Oh, it's difficult to explain because, in a way, I could feel anger.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't as much as hurtful, but it was more anger to try to tell everyone that gray hair is just another color.
Mm-hmm. To normalize it.
Like, exactly.
You know, Carla, the society we live in, there is so much hypocrisy. I mean, I know so many young kids, teenagers, you know, people who are also my age, going to the salon, paying hundreds of dollars, getting their hair bleached, dyed gray or platinum because it's the new cool thing. That is admired, but the moment they spot someone who naturally has a hair of silver hair, that makes you look like a grandma. But everything else that we pay for and we intentionally get done, that is beautiful and cool.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I don't know. Like, if I were to go to a salon and pay, you know, the hairstylist and say, hey, I want to go platinum, people would, I mean, I hope that they'll be appreciative of the torture I went through to look like that. But, you know, like, but then you have people who, like you said, you were 14 when you started noticing your grays, and that for some reason is not cool. I don't know. I think, like, people have a really hard time embracing natural things.
Yes, I think that's because of what we are fed in the media, and mm-hmm. we buy it, the idea of perfection, and how I remember in the 90s, you have to be like skin thick to be really, really thin mm-hmm. and to be acceptable. And now we see girls more like the Kardashians with their,
oh my God, you know, don't even get me started.
I know, it's crazy.
Yeah.
And they promote all this fake beauty about surgeries and Botox at around 20 something. It's crazy.
Yeah. And I mean, you know, it's just what really drives me nuts is you look, I was actually on a call with someone discussing another episode just before I hopped on this recording with you. And we were talking about how, like, this literally, the Kardashian beauty culture of this is the length, this is a good length of the hair, this is how your bob should look, this is the hair parting, this is how tiny your waist should be. Who decided what is beautiful? Who decided what the perfect,
know,
you know,
it's
like
crazy.
Yeah, what is beautiful to me may not be beautiful to you. And like, I looked at your profile and I was like, oh my God, I wish I had that. But then, you know, it's easy to say that I wish I had that without knowing what the person went through in order to get there, you know. And it is undeniable that despite, there is like a lot of gray hair positivity now, there are platforms where people share their stories. However, there still is a stigma attached to graying hair, you know, especially when it starts prematurely. As such, our relationship with our hair, you know, losing color can be very complex. And we don't always feel comfortable talking about it. So if you were to describe your transformation journey in one word, and I know that this is a hard question, how would you describe it and why?
Oh, for me, it would have to be confidence. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's something I've gained. I feel stronger now. And it is silly because it's just my hair. But knowing them, that I'm going like against, you know, the waves, what yeah. everyone thinks about what it should be.
Yeah.
It makes me feel stronger that I think I look good.
You
I
do.
Feel good with my hair color. So that's something positive. And I went against everyone's belief. So it has made me more confident and more strong in who I am right now.
Yeah. It's like, screw you, world. Here I am. What are you going to do about it?
Yeah, exactly.
No, for sure. Like, to own your shiz and to run with it, I think that's huge. I mean, I've noticed a lot of the times that you know, having gone through the journey, you still share your before and after photos. And I saw a few in your Instagram highlights. And honestly, like, Carla, you literally look the same as when you were 27 years old. I don't know. You're like the curious case of Benjamin Buttons or something. There's some weird shebang happening there. but do you ever like miss your black hair?
I don't. I don't, because I think remembering that hair color comes with all the baggage of dying and stuff, like all the things I went through. So I really don't miss it. I have embraced and enjoyed every stage in my life with all the bad and good things they have gone through.
Mm-hmm.
But it's like, we need to be acceptable or mm-hmm. accepting what mm-hmm. what we went through. Like, I decided to have that haircut and that hair color at that time because of something.
Yeah.
So no, I really don't miss that color.
I'm glad you don't.
I think I look better now.
You listen, I wish that someday I look like you. I'm not even joking. Just everything about you, like your, and I think your hair is such a huge part of your personality. It's a head turner. Like, if you were to, you know, cross the road, I would be turning back a lot just to look at you. You know, you are stunning, and I hope that you get that a lot. And your hair, oh my gosh, like one of the reasons why one of the only reasons I initially was like so attracted to your profile was like, oh my God, I want to marry her. She's so beautiful. But beautiful, you're like, you break a lot of stereotypes, and like, we need more people like you, especially women like you. And I'm sure that, you know, your transition phase, it lasted a long time. It's not like you wake up one morning and you have all gray hair. So how long did it take for you to finally get to where you are today?
The whole process started with me thinking mm-hmm. of the idea of going gray and letting it grow. Mm-hmm. So that took me a year of looking around and searching for women that were younger, I mean, around 40, going really gray.
Mm-hmm.
And when I found the courage and said, okay, I'm doing it, it took me 2 years to grow from zero to chin length.
Okay.
And then another 2 for length.
Wow.
So it's been 6 years in total. So it is a long process.
Wow. 6 years.
Yeah, in total, 6 years. I mean, you can transition in 2.
Yeah.
But then you need to grow it and...
So, okay, this is really interesting to me. That is a long time. But considering that the initial kind of transition period, barring length and growth and all that stuff, you know, considering that it takes around like 2 years for you to go all silver if you just sort of stop dyeing and you leave your hair natural. What, like, I'm pretty sure with every passing week, with every passing month, you were noticing like, okay, my hair looks lighter today. Like, my hair looks even lighter in July and then August and September. So every time your hair color faded in terms of the shade, how did that make you feel?
You know, my approach to growing my hair was to bleach it and make it like really light, so that way it would be easier to transition, although there is no shortcut. Because at the end, as you said before, the hair gets this rubbery kind of texture. I went into the hair salon with long hair and came out with a yellowish, horrible kind of color to my chin, and it was completely damaged. So that process is difficult for your hair and for yourself, to see yourself in the mirror and not recognizing who you are, because you have this whole new color in your hair. And then when it started to grow, the first few months were really difficult because I was so aware of what others would react or say to me. But then after 2-3 months that I started to see what my hair was really like, I tried to enjoy it more and played with color. So my bleached horrible part of the hair would have color. So it was fun. Difficult, but fun.
So one question is, why did you decide to bleach it? Did you feel like it would help you with your transition?
I thought it was going to be easier. For me, having dark hair and then start to see the roots, all these horrible, we say in Spanish, the skunk line.
Interesting.
Because it resembles like a skunk. I thought, no, that way I won't be able to succeed.
Have you noticed, I mean, I'm pretty sure you have, but like, what are some of the changes that you've noticed since dropping the, you know, regularly coloring your hair regime since 2014?
Oh, my hair is like when I was a kid. It is soft. It is like healthy. It grows. Before, it wouldn't grow long. It would break. And it was always horrible. So I had to style it, enabled for me to show it like nicer because it was damaged. I mean, when you dye your color, your hair, you always get a little bit of chemicals in it. And this color builds up in your own hair. So now I don't feel that. Like, my hair is pretty healthy and it grows and it shines. So yes, so much better now.
Do you have any regrets?
No, just not doing it before.
Oh, really? You would, if you could turn time back, do you wish you started your journey sooner?
And I wish I would have done it sooner, because it's so much easier now. I feel total freedom. I don't have to be like a slave of coloring.
Yeah. I mean, like, I can't even imagine. Like, literally, I've gotten my hair colored maybe like 4 times and they were all torturous. But I'm like so sure this is, I didn't even include this question in there, but I'm going to ask you this right now. Are there like hair products that you recommend that you swear by?
Oh, yes. You have to use a purple shampoo. That's like
one of
the...
What is the purple shampoo?
Oh, there is a purple shampoo, because if you see the color wheel, about all the colors they are, purple is on the opposite direction from yellow. So gray hair tends to get yellowish because of the sun and the water. It does. It naturally does. So to get rid of that yellow tones it gets, you have to use a purple shampoo to contrast. Yes, that's something that it helps to turn it gray again. Not in a fake way, but it tones down the yellow tones you get.
So wait,
so purple shampoo is a must.
What is it? It's just called the purple shampoo?
No, there are many brands out there.
Okay. And here's a silly me assuming that, is it called like the purple shampoo? Okay.
Don't worry. It's something you learn when you decide to go gray. Yeah. But also, like, women that dye or bleach their hair pretty white kind of tone, you need to use it to get all the yellow fake tones out of it.
I see. Wait, so only people who are coloring, like bleaching their hair, can use it, or people with like dark hair can also use it?
No, it has to be a light color, because in the dark it won't do anything, and probably in the middle tones it would look even a bit greenish.
My hair right now looks, I don't even know, it looks Really bad. I mean, we're in the middle of a pandemic. I'm too scared to go to the salon. And I typically always get my hair colored whenever I'm visiting India. I know that sounds crazy, but they get my hair, and the hairstylists there, they know how to bleach jet black South East Asian hair. And here I'm just, here everyone's like scared to touch jet black hair. So yeah, I will keep that in mind. So are there any shampoos like for people with dark hair? This is such a self-serving question.
I know that they are shampoos for dark hair, that they are black and they help to make your dark hair look shinier, I guess.
Please send your recommendations my way if you have any. My hair is far away from shiny, so thank you for that. So, okay, now back to you. So, totally made this about myself. What has this journey made you realize about yourself?
It has made me stronger and more out of my comfort zone. Also, because of my IG account, I have to be more out there. And at the beginning, it was so scary for me even to share that I had this account with people I knew. Mm-hmm. It was like I was in the closet with my account. And I still get a bit, you know, shy and scared of people I know for their reaction.
That you'll
get. I mean, if someone else sees my posts and it's easier.
Yeah, I guess. I mean, that's really powerful.
Yes, it has helped me grow personally.
You know, the fact that you feel like you almost felt like coming out of, you know, like you were closeted and it was a big step. Like, it's so crazy for me. Like, things that we take for granted, like hair and, you know, like there are so many different things. Like, but you don't really know what other people are going through and how transformational this journey has been for you personally. And I'm pretty sure that when you step out, you get stares and people look at you in an through the spectacle of admiration, not in a negative way. But do you, like, what happens when you step out or when you go to a mall? I mean, not right now, but like generally speaking, when you go out, do people like check you out?
I always feel the stares. You could, you can feel someone looking at you and then you turn and you notice they are maybe two persons like saying something and I know it's about me.
Yeah.
But I think that what shocks them the most is that I have long white hair.
Yeah.
And then they probably think from the back it is an old person. And then I turn around and they see my face and they
and there's the hottie.
Match it. Not really, but
of course you
but
are.
Also I don't dress like an old person. I try to dress and use whatever I feel like I like.
Yeah.
I try not to follow standards.
Yep.
Because I mean, life is too short, so let's just enjoy and do whatever we really want to do.
I would raid your wardrobe any day. I would take a million things from it. Like, I love your wardrobe. And that's why even in my, you know, in my first question, I did say that you're not just about like your hair and hairstyling and you know so much about image composition, like the way you click your photographs. Honestly, if I told my mom, hey, can you send me a photograph of yourself? It would probably her left eye. She wouldn't even know how to click the photos. And, you know, you have such a creative, you know, approach to things. Like, your photographs are not just photographs. Like, honestly, you guys, you have to check Carla out, and I'll leave all her information in the description of this podcast, but you have to check out her page and the way she composes her frames. And, you know, it really takes a lot of acumen to understand that I'm trying to show my hair off, how do I pose, but at the same time, what does my background look like, you know? So I think you put a lot of thought into it. And yes, 100% agreed, you do not dress, you don't have a matronly taste. Like, you wear every, like, I would wear it, like, literally, if for me it's so fashionable. And I assume that the stares you get are all stares of like, oh my god, she is so beautiful. Like, I'm sure they're never like, oh my god, what is up with her? Because, like, I think those people are crazy if they say that. You know, I believe, and I also, honestly, like, I found your profile and then I realized that there's a whole coven of women out there with similar experiences, you know, when it comes to premature graying of hair. Have you connected with anyone else with similar experiences on social?
Yes, I do. I mean, every day we use a lot the hashtag. Well, there are many now, but yes, you know, like gray hair don't care, or silver sisters, and ditch the dye. There are so many hashtags out there, and we all know each other. And I think probably before I got into the train of the Instagram gray hair accounts, I probably was one of the first out there. So that's something that has helped me grow my account, I guess. But also, like, we do get a connection because we have shared similar experiences. And I don't know why my account has grown, but I guess that it's also because they can see that I have long hair and, like,
you
an
know,
inspiration.
Yeah, and you are, like... Like you said, you were one of the first ones. And I think that it makes you almost like a veteran of starting this movement, you know, of starting this movement. And like you said, you know, unfortunately, gray hair is usually perceived as being brittle and weak and not luscious. But then you, when people look at you, you know, you have thick hair, long hair, healthy hair. Yeah, it's gray, but it's cool. You know, and it's beautiful. So that's that. What I had a question for you. What was that question? I hate when this happens. Like when you're in the process of like, So I remember you told me that you were a part of one of the Glossier campaigns. That is huge. I love Glossier. Like, I think that, in fact, now thinking of it, like, everything, the their brand tones, the colors, the way that they post, it's so, like, you know, you fit perfectly into that sort of Glossier ambassador mold. So how did that happen for you? Like, how did...
It was a crazy thing because I've seen a bit of Glossier because they don't have... but the brand in Mexico. And when I got contacted with them, it was so crazy for me to think that a big brand, they have a big, you know, mostly on Instagram. It was crazy. And then I did the first video, and because the ads are not meant for Mexico, I can never see them unless someone tags me in it. So it was funny to see once the first tag came, all the huge amount of comments it got. It was crazy. Even for me, I don't know what the brand thought about it. I guess it worked because I did others. But seeing all the comments, and most of the comments were positive, just a few like, I don't like her, and probably...
Weirdos.
I've read every comment on there, and sometimes they can be a bit hurtful because you take it personally when women say like, oh, I don't like her eyebrows, or that's horrible, or she looks really old. I know, and many of the accounts come from women around my age.
I'm not surprised.
So it's like,
it's so sad that being old is considered bad. Like, we all will grow older. And what is life? Like, it's a human cycle. I don't understand. Like, you know, for example, I've heard so many people on social saying that, oh my God, she looks 50. Why is looking 50 a bad thing? Like, why?
Exactly.
Why is it? Like, what's wrong? I don't get it. Like, you know, a lot of the times when people say that to me, my usual response is, how old is your mom? Like, do you wake up in the morning, go to your mom and say, ugh, mom, you look 50. You look ugly. Who says that? Like, I think hurt people make hurtful comments. I think you personally, like, approach things with a lot of compassion, and that's just your big heart. But people would be crazy to say anything negative about you. I mean, you're so amicable. Everything you post is, like, so straightforward, is, you know, positive. You're trying to help other people. And I hope that these negative comments don't pull you down. Like, I hope that, you know, you're kind of over it and above it.
I have changed the way I think because now every time I read one of those comments, I stop myself and first I Well, I let myself feel whatever that comment made, and sometimes it's hurtful, and sometimes it makes me angry. And then I cool it off and try to not engage with that, because sometimes people just want to fight and do be controversial and try to be against everyone. So I try not to take it personally and try to think about it as they are envy.
Mm-hmm.
Envy. So that makes me more powerful in a way.
Yeah. Awesome. I mean, that's powerful. That's, you are like the Beyonce of the Silverhead Empire. I mean, even bigger and better. And yeah, I mean, you're really inspiring, Carla. And guess what? We've actually reached the end of this episode. And I'm like really surprised that we have been, we've been talking for like 45 minutes. How is that even possible? I am so happy that I was able to do this with you. And I'm also sad because this is sort of my last question for you, but not really, because you're my friend, so you're stuck with me forever. All right. So this last section is called the advice section / secret sauce section / takeaway section, which is, you know, where we help, we give some concrete solutions for people who may be in a similar place, right? So, Carla, what advice do you have for individuals who are in their transition journey right now or are trying to take the first step towards going dye-free?
This is like a whole piece of advice in one, because it has to do with experimenting with your image.
Right.
You're going to change. If you decide to go gray, your reflection in the mirror is going to be different. Mm-hmm. And because of the lightness of the hair, you can play more with color. So you should try to play with new makeup and new colors and accessorize more, maybe different, bigger or shorter earrings and necklaces. And also experiment with your clothes. You can pull off more colors than you can do with other shades of hair.
So think of that.
Experimenting and trying new things can help, like, start loving your new self. That's one big piece of advice. And probably also, like, take good care of your hair because it's now virgin again. So you can take good care of it and have a healthy hair that you haven't had in many years.
Yes, virgin hair. I've never heard of that. That is such a cool way of looking at it. And especially the point you made about how having, like, a fresh canvas to work with.
Yes, that's it.
You know, where you can experiment with so many more colors and all that stuff, which clearly I can't. That's awesome. Thank you for sharing that. Any last words before we wrap up, Carla?
Well, that if you are thinking about going gray, do it. I mean, you can always go back to dye.
Yeah.
I mean, if you don't like what you see, you can always go back. So I know it's, if it was something that you could do from one day to another, people would try it more.
Mm-hmm.
But also, like, lockdown has been the best time to try and see what you have underneath all that color.
Right. I will do that. And my parents will be shocked, but that's okay. They'll be like, oh my God, what happened? Thanks again, Carla, for joining me today. I am so highly grateful for you. I'm grateful for you and I'm grateful to you. And I hope that, you know, you continue to expire. What am I saying? You continue to expire? No, Carla, you continue to inspire many more men and women around you, you know, because I'm pretty sure there are a lot of men out there who also deal with something similar. And I hope that, you know, your journey inspires people to embrace their natural hair. So that's that. And it would be an opportunity missed if I did not take this moment to also, you know, give a huge shout out to all our listeners for tuning in. And as always, I will see you guys next week. Till then, chin up. Yeah. Hello there.